Welcome to the Semi Balanced Podcast. I am Julie, and I have with me a super beautiful guest. His name is David McCarthy. I'm sure you guys heard of him through Nicola. He is a pharmacist that just helps you recover and live the natural way with a drug-free approach. He's also part of the Key to Life. I know you guys all heard about that through Nicola. He's the science guy behind it. So I'm going to go ahead and welcome David onto the podcast. Hi, David. How are you?
Hello. How are you, Julie? All right?
I am. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for joining me today. As I was saying, Nicola did, explain, how you guys do this together. And I think that's so beautiful. So really what I want you to do is really, and she said you have stories to share. So I'm kind of intrigued about that also. You can share your stories, but I want to hear about how you guys developed this and the science behind it and how you started as a pharmacist. I mean, that in itself is ironic. And you were looking for the drug-free alternative of life. Itself is a story. So please do share.
Okay, will do. Okay, yeah. So, I started life as a pharmacist. I always had it in me to heal people, to help people is what I wanted. And that's another story that goes back to when I was a child. And I mean, I can come into that later, but actually as a pharmacist, I was a very successful pharmacist. So I wanted to help people. I had a very scientific mind, analytical mind, and pharmacy just seemed the perfect thing for me. And I was particularly interested in drugs, not illegal drugs, drugs, medicinal drugs.
Right, yeah. Right.
They're all actually the same, really. So, and then and I wanted to know how they worked and everything. So I was always head in a textbook, couldn't stop having my head in a textbook. That was before the internet, of course. So everything was in a textbook. So then I became a pharmacist and actually did quite well in it. I was very good at what I did, and with the business side too, I was very good with that. I actually opened the first Western pharmacy in the Soviet Union before the Berlin Wall came down, as a claim to fame. So I was drawn to that venture. I was sort of headhunted for it, and drawn to it because I was going to be giving Western drugs to the Soviet Union. And their pharmacies at the time had, really drugs and pharmaceuticals that had been invented probably in the 1930s, 1950s. And they were in my way at the time, I thought they were quite simple drugs. They were quite, and they needed more things to help them. This was my attitude. I thought I was going out there to help them. So yeah, I opened up that one. We were going to open one in Moscow, but we actually opened one in Tbilisi in Georgia first. And I went down there. That was a whole experience in itself. I learned Russian before I went. I did a crash course over a few months. And when I went down to Georgia and I started speaking Russian to them, they all sort of were very angry with me and spat at me. They thought I was Russian. And the Georgians, I then found out, actually really don't like the Russians. So anyway, that was another story. So I went into a country and I didn't know the language, not even one word. So I was opening a pharmacy there. So what we did, we opened the pharmacy, worked very well. Wasn't exactly what I anticipated, although that's one of my lessons in life, is not everything is as you anticipate it going to be. The main thing that they actually wanted there was they had fertility problems. Yeah, men had fertility problems, if I say that in a nice way. They had a trouble, actually having an erection. So many men had that problem, and that was the number one thing I was asked for from day one, was that something to help other men. I was thinking I was going to be selling, antibiotics or heart medication. No, nothing like that at all. So it was a bit of shock. Anyway, there was problems there, and I came back home once for a holiday. And while I was away, while I was away, the pharmacy was blown up. They had a revolution, and there was a cannon that blew the pharmacy up. So I didn't go back. So anyway, that was an interesting story. So anyway, I came back to England, and I became a very busy pharmacist, and got a, you know, got myself a chain of shops, and was very successful. And, you know, thinking, this is great, I'm going to retire in just a few years, I can carry on this way, you know, it's amazing. And then one day I picked my son up from school, and he had a stiff neck, and I thought, oh, those bags are very heavy, you've hurt your neck. So don't worry, we're going on a walking holiday, and I'll sort that out for you while we're away. Well, we went away for a week on a walking holiday. You know, we're walking about 8 or 10 miles a day in the mountains. Right. And my son was 9 at the time. And he didn't get any better, his neck, at the end of the week. And I thought, oh, this is a bit strange, but I didn't think much of it. I'll take him to the doctors when I get back. So I took him to my local doctor, who I knew very well because I had a business relationship with him. And he said, oh, no, there's nothing wrong with him, it's fine. I said, well, I'm really not sure, because I think there is something, but I don't know, you know, I've got a feeling. Anyway, so I went back next day to see him again, and another doctor to get a second opinion. And at the end of the next day, I found out that my son, who was 9, had an inoperable brain tumour. He was given 4 weeks to live.
Oh my God.
And there was no medicine, no surgery, no modern anything that could help him. Now, when I've worshipped at the altar of science and drugs for 20 years, it had been then, I couldn't believe it. That I thought, there must be something out there. There must be something out there. You know, what is this? This is ridiculous. I couldn't understand it at all. And it's quite a body blow. That's quite a life-changing experience in itself. So anyway, I thought, there's got to be a natural way. So I knew diet was important. I didn't know how important it was, but I thought, oh, we've got to change our diet. And our diet was typical of what people were eating in England at the time, you know, ready meals and eating out at restaurants, and, you know, not a great deal of what I now know as healthy food, health-giving food. But at the time I thought, you know, everybody wasn't, and that was the way it was. So yeah, so we changed our diet, changed other things. I tried different herbs and goodness knows what, and we managed to shrink the tumor. It was the size of a large orange, and in the base of the skull, yeah, of a 9-year-old, that's quite big. Anyway, and we managed to shrink it, and we carried on with our, and I was trying all sorts of things, different herbs and natural things, all with a bit of science in my head involved as well. And I'm probably at the edge of what science was doing then, really. And then we shrank down and disappeared. It went actually to a dot on the scan. Mm-hmm. And we were, you know, delighted. And it stayed that way for a few months, and probably for about 8 months after we shrunk it down. But I felt anxious and nervous. I wasn't happy. And I didn't know why, but I just wasn't happy. I wanted to completely, you know, sort this out. I didn't understand it. So anyway, I tried to get, you know, find out more. And all the time I was looking for a more natural help from around the world. I networked with so many different people at the time. And, it came back again. And I got it again with natural treatments. And I got it with another natural treatment, actually, which we needed. He needed to have a lining to have this natural treatment. It was based on a food product. And I wasn't happy about that, but I thought I didn't have a choice. So we had a line put in. Anyway, when he became really bad again, like very, very quickly, within 3 months after. So this is like a year and a half after having the original diagnosis, and really he'd been free of it for about 10 months. And then it came back again really quickly. And I tried to get help, and And it was very difficult to get help from of the medical profession to help me to give a natural treatment to my son. And I learned a lot about the medical profession. I knew a lot anyway, because I'd dealt with lots of doctors around the country before that. And I knew their strengths and weaknesses, shall we say. But actually, it was while dealing with the professionals in the oncology field that I discovered a lot more than I didn't realize. And it wasn't pleasant. So, I managed to get the tumor to go again. From it, at one point, he had a fit and he went into a coma, and everybody thought that was the end. But no, got him back again. He came back again, and he was stronger than ever and fitter than ever. He was people who believed him just couldn't believe this miracle. And then all of a sudden he didn't feel. He said, "I feel a bit sick," and he was sick. And then he sort of passed away, passed out. And then 10 hours later, he passed away from septicemia. The tumor had gone. But it was his time to go, you know. And it was a hard lesson, the hardest lesson of the lot. But actually, I think I needed that to give me a kick to do what I had to do. Otherwise, I would have carried on doling out the drugs and making a handsome living from it. And what would have that done for the world, you know, really? So this really opened my eyes, and he opened my eyes in such big ways to realize what I'd been doing before, and what in a way was against what I believe life should be about. And after that, then I helped children really for the next couple of years. I was helping children with cancers, and some I got to in time, some I didn't. And that was really rewarding work. And then some adults, I then started to help adults with cancers. And some successes were amazing, and I had failures as well, and didn't quite understand what was going on. All the time researching. So, I mean, researching hours a day. Yeah. And I'd done that ever since from the day my son had the diagnosis. So, spent a few years and years researching. I just couldn't stop researching and finding out, trying to find the answers. And then I was married at the time, and that marriage sort of fell apart and dissolved. It was dissolving before my son became ill, and had dissolved probably before he came ill. And then when he came ill, that sort of united us in a way. But my wife at the time couldn't cope with what my son was doing, and really moved towards more alcohol and smoking to get by, and you know, she was in a real bad way with the alcohol from early in the morning. And really, after my son died, that continued and got worse and worse. And you know, I wanted to help people. I didn't want this to be the end of my life. I wanted this to be a beginning of something that I could, as a legacy of my son, of Jonathan, what I could do and help people with. Right. And that's really, he was my motivation to get up in the morning and do anything. And he still is to this day. Oh. You know, if I'm feeling a little lackluster, I just think about him, and then I'm off and I'm up and I'm at it again. So really, I just continued studying, and I tried and experimented everything myself. I mean, we turned vegan at the time when my son became ill. We all did overnight. The whole family did, which was great. My parents and everything as well, which was like so supportive. And at the time in England, this 25 years ago, you know, it wasn't really much known about. We were a bit odd at the time. But I knew that the answer lay there somewhere. So anyway, we carried on, and I carried on studying and learning, and then as my marriage fell apart, and then I met Nicola out of the blue. I didn't expect to meet anybody else. I never expected. I was like, how old was I? Good question. 41, 42, and I didn't expect to meet anybody else. I didn't think I was going to have another child. You know, I thought that was my lot. I didn't think anything else. And I met Nicola, and she wasn't particularly well at the time. And I was trying everything I could with Nicola to help her with what I knew. And again, some things got better, some things didn't. And I thought, I've got to get this right. And then one day, I'd been reading about macrobiotics, and I took a book with me on our honeymoon when we got married a couple of years later about macrobiotics. And it's actually when I read it there and had time to read it, it just sunk in, and it actually tied in everything I'd been studying for years. Because at that point, I'd been eating Ayurvedically and using lots of different nutrients, nutraceuticals, herbs, goodness knows what. And just to try and balance different health conditions out. But this actually just tied it all together, and it just put a bow on it and sorted it out. And I just knew what to do straight away. So we started to do that. I changed Nicola's diet, and she got better daily from her conditions that she had. And she was going to probably be quite disabled. You know, she would have been, now I would have thought, in a wheelchair if we'd not done that. She probably would have been in a wheelchair within 5 years if we'd not changed. And everything went away. Everything went away, and I couldn't believe it. And when I thought I was healthy, you know, I was a runner, avid runner and a swimmer and cyclist and everything like this, and, you know, and had a physical level of fitness. But, you know, I still had, I had asthma, so I needed an inhaler. I had something called rosacea, which is comes around with stress, spots on my face. I had sinusitis, which I'd actually had for about 20, 30 years and didn't realize it. I just got used to my nose being blocked. I was allergic to cats, terribly allergic to cats, and a few other things I wasn't sure what I was allergic to. Anyway, really within 3 or 4 weeks of changing, everything went away and has never come back since.
I've never needed an inhaler. A vegan?
Well, from when I changed to become a vegan, a number of things improved, but they didn't go away. Okay. Some things went away, and maybe the odd thing went away, but actually I felt better and I felt more energized, but I didn't feel right. And it was only once I changed eating this other more balanced way, which is what we sort of teach now, that it took everything away. So it took my asthma away, took my rosacea away, because it was an understanding of how to balance your body so that these things don't come out, so you don't have an issue with them. And it was understanding that. And it's quite an analytical and almost in a way, it's a logical way of understanding it. The science is still catching up. And really, a part of me, you know, understood this. It's like an intuitive understanding with the food. And we sort of all know it, but we've forgotten about it. And of course, and then everything that we hear about that they're promoting in a health food shop, on the television, on the internet, wherever we see it, is marketing somebody's latest superfood or super diet. But actually, you know, the answer to everything is just going back a bit, almost in time, and having more simpler foods prepared in a very tasty, modern way to give you the energy that you need today. But, you know, it's quite, I just think we overcomplicate so many things now, and diet is one of those things that we overcomplicate. So, and, you know, we've got different lifestyles, of course, now to the lifestyles that our ancestors had. So we've got different needs as well. But, you know, it's once you understand all that, then the balance just comes. And once and if, you know, you enjoy the food, it's tasty, it's delicious, which is what you want. It's not monastic in any way. You know, you don't have to lock yourself away and be a hermit. And it's just life changing. So, you know, if you think, I mean, I've been, you know, using inhalers, you know, for 30 years and allergy medication. And being a pharmacist at the time, you know, you would always you're trying everything out, trying every supplement, trying, you know, I keep getting colds, I'm going to have, you know, zinc and vitamin C, Eleutherococcus, echinacea, elderberry extract, you know, everything. I was taking all these things because I was always catching colds. you know, working in that environment. And then everything went away. And then I, you know, you don't catch anything. You just, it just, the whole balance comes. And then with all this going on in the world, you understand it for what it is. It's not what you think it is. It's not what you're told it is. It's not what the marketing tells you it is. It's, and really it gives you a sense of freedom inside. It gives you a freedom that you're in control of your own health and your own destiny. And, you know, you don't have to believe what other people say because you feel it yourself. You know more what is good for you. You know, your intuition really improves over time. You know, and especially when you start trusting it and listening to it more, then, you know, it kicks in more. But, you know, so much we're told, you know, to almost ignore our feelings and listen to what the experts say. But actually, you know, you become your own expert of your own body. And as long, and the best thing is not to listen too much to other people. And, you know, because you do know what's best for yourself. And what we say is, you know, when people, you know, want to change, we'd also always say whenever we were like teaching that, look, don't believe what I say, you know, try the food, try this way and see how you feel. And then listen to yourself. You know, you don't have to believe anything that I say, you know, just, you know, what's right for you. 100%. But this is about a way to open it up for yourself.
Yes, 100% on that. I believe you should always listen to your gut feeling, what you're feeling. And if you know it's working and you see it working and, you know, you're feeling good and all of that, then you know you're on the right path. Now, I know you guys have a program coming out, right?
Yeah, The Secret Power of Food. Yeah, essentially when people come to us, they, you know, I see people with health problems and whatever, and they come for a consultation and you want to help them. And so much of what we have to do is like, is an explanation of what it is we do and how the food kicks in and the energy of the food and how to work out the energy of the food for yourself. So, and really it's just like opening their eyes to just a new way of looking at what their daily food can do to their health, without listening to lots of things on maybe social media that are not particularly accurate or come from a different perspective. So we've just got this course, and it's like, we used to teach people over weekends, and really we've done that and got that down, canned that down, and put it in a course so that people can understand, you know, really, and start rebuilding their health this way once they understand the energetic nature of the food and how it's affecting them.
Yeah. Right. And what I love about it is you guys have these courses, but you make them recordable. So it's on your own time. I love that. I 100% love that. I was like, oh my God, that's genius. Because there's courses that I've tried to take and I paid for, and it's like, okay, I had to work overtime, or like there was always something that was getting in the way of like, this time slot that I needed free that I
we wanted to do something live because it raises questions in people, but we thought, well, actually it's more important that we get the reach out there to more people that know about it, and then the questions they can email or quite often maybe just say, can I have 30 minutes with you after I've got these questions? And then, you know, because that really helps people move on, and they need those answering, really. They need, you know, whatever course you do, it sort of raises something in you, or, you know, you need to know more. So, but we wanted to make the reach more for people so people could really start make that transformation in themselves.
Yes, I love that. I love
at their own pace, their own pace too.
Bravo. I applaud both of you. I mean, that's just so commendable. And just the heart you guys have and the passion. You guys, you can see the passion even in your website. It's like, wow, you can see the love that you guys have for just getting this word out and letting people know. So, you know, bravo to both of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, there's so much, you know, we don't, you know, the energy of food people don't really understand. Well, they don't even know. They just think it's like calories or something like that. And this is a whole different energy that we're looking at, you know, whether it's how, you know, it's like the energy of the food, you know, what is it? Where does it come from? You know, the color, the taste, the size, the texture, they all affect the food and where and what it does in your body. And it's once you can understand that, that is really transforming. But, you know, everything is energy, you know, everything we're taking in is energy. And, you know, for years we've been looking at, you know, we're very sensitive to energy. You know, it was Nicola probably who flagged it up first for me. That, she's very sensitive around Wi-Fi and can feel Wi-Fi. I have that with mobile phones. So years ago when I had my pharmacies, they were all over the country and I was driving all around. And I thought it was really cool at the time because I had a mobile phone, you know, when not many people had them, shall we say, in the UK. And I was really, you know, cool and trendy. And I would have this to my ear for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And it wasn't until I realized, I went on a drive one day with a partner, business partner. And I think I'd driven about 8 hours that day, you know. We're coming back home and he said, do you realize you've been on the mobile for all but half an hour of the day? And I said, you're kidding. And that flagged it up to me. You know, I thought I was, you know, whatever. And so I changed my number overnight. I thought, I can't do this. This is crazy. But what that meant now is that if I pick up a phone, probably this came to me about 15 years ago, then if I pick up a mobile phone, within, and I'm talking on it, I've got about 30 seconds until I start to get a headache. And it starts with a burning and then it gets into a headache. So 30 seconds I've got. So it's hands-free for me, I'll keep them away. But actually, you know, a lot of people are like that. We don't know what they're doing to us. And that energy is everywhere. So we were looking at ways and, you know, how to mitigate that, and they can affect your sleep and everything as well. Having Wi-Fi in the house it's everywhere now. Yeah. It's everywhere. And this radiation is everywhere. And the more we can mitigate it, the better. And, you know, even with a 5G, you know, that's a stronger or higher frequency, you know, the more we can, you know, to almost move away from it, the better. Physically, you know, the more distance we are from these things, the better. And then that, I was sort of really aware of the energy of those devices. And then energy's everywhere. And then we start, you know, I actually met Nicola on like a mediumship course many, many years ago. So even though I've not really been a medium, I developed those abilities and been using those abilities, and I didn't know I was using them. So, you know, sensing spirit and goodness knows what. And then actually, I've been studying spiritual healing as well, and been doing that for over 20 odd years too. So it's like, and recent times, it's all sort of come together for me, because when I've been doing some of my healing, I've been like pushing energy out to heal the room afterwards. And that's led me to carry on doing that more. So recently I've been doing healing people's spaces, which has been something completely new for me. But actually it's what I've been doing a long time and I didn't realize it. And it's all energy work. And it seems like different to the food, but it's all part and parcel of it. Because, you know, the food that we eat can carry an energy with it. And that energy we can take on board. And that energy can transform us. It can transform into our actions, into the way we express our words. And I mean, we can see this with, just as a simple example, with coffee. Is, you know, you have coffee, you have a few coffees, you're going to speak very quickly, you're going to be much more animated, your hands start moving more when you're talking. Now, that's something that we see, which is, has an energy that expresses itself very quickly. But there are other foods that express the energy much more slowly, on a much more inward level, that affect us as well. And this energy can then stick with you. So some animal foods can, the energy can stick with you for a long time. And you sort of take on certain characteristics of, or traits maybe that an animal may have, or thinking pattern that they may have. And that's all very interesting. And then if you are of a certain energy and you're in a space where another energy is, and your energy is not particularly clear or clean, you can attract other energies around you as well.
Right.
So then it's been really, I've been helping people clear those energies as well from their body. So you can do that then by changing the food. So shall we say that these energies have got less to stick on than you, on your chakras and on your aura. And then really then have been helping people then heal their spaces beyond that. So, you know, because if we've taken this energy into us, it's become part of us, and then it can actually stick in our homes and our houses. So even though we may start to change, the energy is still around us, and it sort of holds on to us more in that space and stops us from changing, transforming and moving forward. So really then, you know, that sort of led me to then really healing spaces and helping to heal people's homes, which I've been doing lately as well, which sort of comes part and parcel really of what we do, you know, because, you know, as people become more sensitive, right. Some people become more sensitive to their environment as well and what's in it, you know, whether it's a room that doesn't feel comfortable in your house, or you just can't sleep for whatever reason in your bed, but you can sleep in somebody else's house, fine, or in a hotel, fine. But, you know, there's some reason. And, you know, once you can then start to sense those energies, you can then move, you know, clear the energies and really bring your life back into balance again. And it's all about the balance to bring you that health, you know, because, you know, I often... you know, because these, you know, it's all about your thoughts as well and your thinking. And these energies can actually keep you in a bit of a rut with your thinking. In that, you know, they're happy with the status quo of what you are. And if you're in a down or in a depressed place, and you're maybe having trouble sleeping, or you've got relationship problems, you know, in a way they want to keep you in that pattern, because that's what nurtures them and feeds them. And really, the sooner you can change yourself and then change your environment around you, or you know, clear that environment out, then the healing, you know, takes place quite quickly after that. So,
I agree. David, what I'm going to do is ask you a series of 10 questions.
Mm-hmm.
They're just healing questions.
Okay.
So, you know, just what is the greatest lesson that you've ever learned?
Never give up.
Ooh,
there's always an answer. So there is always an answer. You just got to find it.
I like that one.
And it was really also when my son, you know, I knew there was an answer out there. I knew there was a cure, shall we say?
Yeah.
And I knew there was. And I don't like to use the word cure, but I knew for him I could heal him. Actually, it was really interesting, because just thinking about that, when I was younger, a young boy, I had a great uncle and a great aunt. And they were both, my great aunt used to read tea leaves when we used to go and see her.
Right.
I lost my grandma and one grandma and one granddad quite early. So they were like surrogate grandparents really to us. And then her brother was a medium, and a very well-known medium in Manchester in the north of England at the time. And he used to do the cards and everything. He was very good. Every time we'd go, Well, when I was like 11, he told me and my brother that we were both going to be wearing white coats and working with in a laboratory, or working, he could see us working with white coats and, you know, with medicines and things.
Right.
And I wasn't thinking about being a pharmacist then. And he said to my brother that, and he said to me, he said, well, he said, you're going to do very well. You're very bright. You're going to do very well, to my brother. And he said, and you're going to find the cure for cancer, to me. Now, my brother reminded me of this after my son got better, because I'd forgotten completely about it. So that was a little bit spooky, really, a little bit mind blowing. So, yeah. But I knew the answer is always out there. You've got to find it. And quite often it might not always be out there. It could be in here.
In here. Inside. It's already in there. Yeah. Right.
So, but you have to look outside to see within. So.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Wow. That was such a beautiful answer. Thank you for that. What are you learning now?
Actually, I'm learning now more developing, you know, just developing my healing more. So actually, you know, whether it's healing people's homes or spaces for clients, and I'm learning how I'm developing that, I suppose, really. And it's more of an intuitive learning now, and it's going in the right place and meeting the right people. And it's blown my mind a bit what I've done with it. And I mean, I was, so somebody's got a space, like, actually just the other day I helped somebody in Australia. They live like in a rented flat, and they're having like real trouble sleeping there. And I thought, well, I can't get to Australia to help them. So I said, you know, so they sent me a floor plan, and I actually now work with a floor plan. And initially I start dowsing and using rods, divining rods. And then my intuition switches in and just knows what to do and where to look and where to go and what questions to ask. And I'm surprising what I'm finding as I'm doing it. So in a way, I'm sort of teaching myself, but it's not me, it's, you know, my guides, but maybe I'm listening 100%. To them more now than I ever did before. So yeah, that's really where I'm going now. So yeah.
Okay, that's perfect. Third question. Okay. How has failure shaped your life?
So, when I got together with Nicola and we'd studied what we studied and we learned all this wonderful about the energy of food and everything and the energy of everything, we wanted to tell people, and we thought, oh, well, maybe we need to open a shop and then we can sell some of these wonderful foods we have. So we opened a couple of shops that were they were vegan shops at the time. There wasn't any in the UK then. Vegan, so we were the first ones in the UK, vegan and sugar-free. So no refined sugar in the shop, anything of anything. So, you know, we knew we were doing the right thing, but actually I think we were a bit ahead of our time, and it didn't really work. It took too much of our energy, because actually we wanted to teach as well. And teaching was still our passion at the time, much more than having a shop and a business. I didn't want any more shops. And really that sort of to say, no, don't bite off too much. Just do what you can do and leave everything else to everybody else. Yeah. So that was really a big lesson, really, I suppose, just saying, yeah, you know, yeah.
That's beautiful. Who do you know that I should know?
I've always been very interested in sound as well and healing, and I've been chanting for years in my practice anyway, and used to teach chanting as part of what we used to teach about looking at the energy and the energy of what it was.
Right.
Actually, my biggest thing, which I was doing a chant once with a group of 8 people in a room, and it was for 20 minutes, and I took my mobile phone in there, and it was fully charged. It was the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'd stuck it on the windowsill about 10 feet behind me. And when I came after the chant, it was quite a powerful chant. I came to the phone and my phone was dead. And I thought, this is strange. Why? I didn't understand it because it was fully charged. Couldn't understand it. So I put it on charge for a morning and, till about 1 o'clock, and it was still dead. So I thought, oh, this is a bit strange. So I took it to the shop I got it from.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, look, yeah, just put it on charge here. We'll go and come back in a couple of hours and we'll see. So I came back after 2 hours and said, any luck with my phone? And as we looked at it, the charging light just came on. So, you know, when your phone's completely dead and you plug it in and it's got an indicator, yeah, and it's like the lowest it can be, that just came on. Wow. And I couldn't believe it. It was so drained. And that was just from the chanting. So it'd been on probably charge, I'd say, for six, seven, 8 hours. And it was only then, and it actually took another day to get it back to fully charged. So, yeah, and I thought, chanting's pretty powerful, David. That's a bit of a message there. So I've carried on doing that. And then really, I met a guy called, who actually, when we were studying mediumship, me and Nicola, years ago, we studied under a guy called Tony Stockwell in the UK. And we knew Tony really well. He was like a young boy almost when he started teaching us. Anyway, and he, and somebody we met there was a guy called Larry Davids, who's an excellent medium. He used to be in a rock band, toured the world, very famous. And he's also a sound healer. So, yeah, he's a very good sound healer. I definitely had a word with him. He's got some stories to tell.
Wow, definitely. I would love
Larry to. Davids.
If
Larry
you Davids. Get medium. Me in touch with him.
Yeah, we'll do.
I would definitely appreciate that. Thank you very much. What have you read that I should read?
Well, an interesting book that I read many years ago that made me think. It was written a long, long time ago. Well, actually, there's two books that are probably quite good to read. One is called The Sugar Blues, and it was written by a man called William Dufty. I don't know if you know that book.
I don't know the book.
So William Dufty, The Sugar Blues. So William Dufty was married to a famous actress, and I cannot remember her name. It's going to come to me. Gloria something or other, very famous actress, very famous actress. And he understood this is a book about his discovery about sugar, but actually it's as relevant today as it ever was. Because, you know, sugar is still in it. They might call it different names now. They might call it coconut sugar or agave syrup, but it's sugar. So it's a really, really useful book to read. It's that Sugar Blues by William Dufty. And another one, which is quite informative, and I wouldn't bother with too much with the dietary recommendations in it too much because they were quite simplistic. But actually, the guy was a great philosopher, and he's called George Asawa, and it's called You Are All Sampaku. And really introduces a way that you can diagnose your own health and other people by looking at a certain state, physical symptom in your eyes, which is known in the Orient, but not so much in the West. And that's a really powerful book. Again, both those books were written in the 60s, but I would recommend them. That's two books. You only asked me for one, didn't you? Sorry.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay.
How can I add value to you?
How can you add value to me? How do you normally add value to people? Well, yeah, just let people know. I mean, sharing this podcast is wonderful enough, really.
Okay. It really just depends on, you know, what, you know, you consider value, but I'm here to spread anything on my podcast. I think you guys are amazing. I was like, oh my gosh. I think I was drawn to Nicola because I somehow needed what you guys were teaching. And I was like, wow, it changed my whole mindset of how I stopped fearing food as much. So it's beautiful. So
that's fantastic. Don't fear food. Don't. And I think really, I think if anybody's, I suppose that really, how could you, well, I'd like to help more people in a way. So, you know, if people have got a medical condition, say, and they're taking a medication for that medical condition, whatever it may be, and they're not happy taking that medication, they don't want to be taking it, but they can't see a way not to, then maybe I'd love to have a word with them and help them and see if we can find a route for them not to take it. Because what I found is when I was actually in pharmacy, I didn't understand, you know, somebody came to me and they were ill with something, whether they've got, you know, whether it was depression, or ME, or goodness knows what, or asthma, heart disease. You know, somebody come to me and said, oh, well, I'm having an organic diet, I'm eating this, I'm eating that, I think that was the best you could do. But actually now I know there's so much more you can do, which is way outside the scheme of modern scientific understanding. And you can really change anything. And I, you know, even now when I look at what people take in pharmacies, you could, you know, if they're willing to make that investment in themselves, in the time to understand, which isn't a great deal of time, they could transform their life into, I think I could probably remove the need for probably 90% of medication with what I know. But actually, how do you get that information out there? And, you know, people have got to be in that place to want to listen
to. And that's why this just needs to spread. I mean, this is just a beautiful, beautiful message. I mean,
if people just want to find a natural way to alleviate anything, there's always a natural way out there.
Right.
And quite often the answer's right in front of you on the food that you're eating.
Solving the whole
cancer. Yeah. And now, you know, I know how, you know, it feels so, it feels so amazing what you can do and how you can do that. Yeah. And it's repeatable, you know, that's so. So let's see. Yeah. So if you can help anybody, you can really. Yeah.
Okay. Three more questions. What has helped you the most on your healing journey?
I think being open-minded.
Okay.
You know, it's easy to be closed-minded, easy to think you know everything, especially when you're being told by somebody else. And really being open-minded just helps you think outside the box and to challenge preconceived ideas. You know, because if I'd not done anything, if I just said trusted the specialist who said, well, they said all sorts of nonsense at the time, if they essentially give up and go, you know, don't worry, you know, I'd recommend, if your son's going to start losing weight, I would recommend you go to McDonald's every day and have 2 or 3 big thick milkshakes every day. Right. This was a top oncologist. This was probably one of the top 4 oncologists in the UK at the time. But, you know, really, that I judged him on his words. So, you know, but they don't know. They only know what they know. They only know what they know. So really it's being open-minded. And I think that's it. That's the best thing that's helped me. And really... yeah, just be open-minded. So easy just to laugh things off, and shouldn't ever do that.
Yeah, I really like that answer. That's a very good answer. Thank you. What do you think is the first step to opening your heart?
Yeah, to opening your heart actually is listening to your heart. The first step has got to be, stepping out of where you are for a while. I think quite often, you know, our lives can become very busy and we're rushing around on a treadmill that we maybe others have created and we're just happy to run along with it. And then we think that's the way everything is. And really, you know, it's stepping off that treadmill in your own way, wherever you can. And it's having some time for yourself, because it's only when you have some time for yourself and you start to think about you and yourself and your needs and actually your heart. Otherwise, you just, you don't ever really connect to it. You know, the modern material world is about connecting mentally to things and physically, and the spiritual and the heart-based, they don't want to know about that.
Yeah.
So it's having some time out for you, and that can be a challenge for a lot of people. Yeah. A lot of people. Yeah.
When I think, you know, I sometimes on this question, I love listening to different answers, but mine's like self-love. Sometimes you gotta learn how to love yourself before you can even open your heart to anybody else. So,
well, you know, you cannot give to anybody else if
you can't.
You're never going to give if you can't give to yourself in any way.
100%. Yeah.
And when you do, you're draining in yourself, and you're not honoring them either. And you've got to look after yourself. And that does come from just giving yourself time, you know, and just contacting yourself. Yeah, we don't do that. There's always so many things to be doing and looking at and listening to. Yeah.
100%. I agree. Okay, so if you were given an opportunity to create a billboard that the entire world would see, what would it say?
Wow, a billboard for the entire world to see. How would you do that? Well, somehow you'd want it to say, like, if you were, you know, it doesn't have to be the way you're taught. It doesn't have to be. Nothing has to be the way you believe it has to be. You can create your own life, your own destiny, your own health, yourself. You're sovereign, I suppose. I'd love them to say, you know, come up with a cheesy slogan to get them to look at health in a different way, but I don't know if I could do that. But, you know, really, it's just about people stepping off the treadmill and looking at their life. Because I find that when they do that, that's when the change comes. I think people just have to know it doesn't have to be the way they're told it has to be. So
you want to know what words I thought you would say? Do you want to know what I thought you would say?
Go on.
I thought you would say thekeytolife.com, a new perspective on your health.
Well, yeah, you know, I could, but I suppose I don't know. Probably one of my problems is sometimes I'm maybe a bit too humble and I don't like to shout about.
I could tell. I could totally tell that. But yeah, you really do need to spread that. That's
I probably do. Yeah, I probably do. That's a good idea. I'll go with your idea. Thank you.
That needs to be shared. It really, really does, because there's so much beautiful information there, and just the natural healing all around, like, is just amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sad that it took to where, you know, like the road it took, but also I'm thankful that it took that path so you can introduce this to the world.
Well, if it didn't for that, I wouldn't have done it. You know, I wouldn't have done it.
So, right. I mean, that's so it.
Needed like, to. Yeah.
Exactly. You would not have had the drive. You would not have had the, you know.
No.
Exactly. No. So, you know, that had to have been presented. And it's a shame that it took that path, but
It is, but it isn't. You know, I don't mind. He's done his job. He's happy where he is. And he still comes around and, you know, plays and everything. So, and I feel him around. And Nicola connects with him very easily.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Oh. That is so beautiful. Yeah. David, this has been such a beautiful talk. But I would love for you to share with my listeners how they can, you know, get a hold of you, follow you, ketolife.com, all of that. Pimp yourself out for my listeners to follow.
Okay, right. Yeah. So if you want to know more and you want to change your life, if you want to change your health, whatever. So yeah, the website is theketolife.com, the key as in K-I, the K-I-to-life.com. You can contact me at david@thekeytolife.com. Also on Instagram, we are at the.key.to.life.health on Instagram. So yeah, either of those ways, love to. But otherwise, yeah, just email me david@thekeytolife.com. If I can help you, I'd love to help you. Okay. Thank you very much.
I'm going to link all of those in the show notes. And do you want to add one more shout out for your new course?
Yeah, so the new course is called The Secret Power of Food. And yeah, and wow, if you want to start the journey transforming your health, transforming your life with the energy of food for ultimate health, then please, yeah, check it out at theketolife.com.
This is so life-changing, guys. Like, listen, for real. Go check them out. They are amazing, both of them. And this has been just the best pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Julie.
I am so grateful for it. Thank you.
Lovely.
And, you know, tell Nicola hi. And I will link everything up in the show notes, and you have a beautiful weekend.
We will. Thank you. And you. Thank you.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And let's hope I can get to Florida one day and meet you.
Yes. Most
bring their letters in. Yeah.
Yes. Have a good one.
Take care. Thank you. Bye.